You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, check out all the fallout of week number 11, including the week 12 power rankings that you can check out here on Locked On Fantasy Football as we kick off another week, a shortened week here with the Thanksgiving holiday, a three-pack of games coming up on Thursday. We have to start with our Roundup Monday. So we'll talk about every game that happened on Sunday here in the NFL, break it down from both sides, from a fantasy football perspective, the takeaways you need to know here. So a lot to get to, a lot of things happened there in the action, a lot of good, bad, disappointing, surprising as well happening in week number 11. We'll get to all those games for you here on the show in depth. The programming note, we will be not having a Thursday show, so we'll compact all our matchup breakdowns here for week number 12 on Wednesday. We'll have a mega matchup Wednesday for you this week, so a little bit extra there for you this week, all packed into one show. Here we got a lot to get to before we dive into the results of what we just saw. I gotta tell you, this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Now, for me, it's not going to the office, it's not going to a sports bar, it's right there with my Pepsi at home. And Pepsi is a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. All right, let's dive in, shall we, now to a lot of stuff that happened. Some things that were questionable, some things were nice to see happen. The Titans-Ravens game certainly offered that. The Titans come roaring back here, 17 points in the fourth quarter and overtime combined to beat the Ravens. So big comeback here by the Titans. We thought they were buried. We thought this was a get-well game for the Ravens. Let's start with the Titans. This was a game for Derrick Henry to get back on track. He had the long touchdown to win the game in overtime, but 133-1 there for Derrick Henry. So he went back on track. This Ravens run defense all of a sudden struggling here the past 2 weeks. Gave a blot to the Patriots. So not daunting here. James Conner is the next back to face them. So Ravens without Calais Campbell, they really miss his presence up front. They had Brandon Williams hurt as well, so it's definitely been a struggle there. But Henry gets back on track. When Henry does well, that usually means Ryan Tannehill does well. So 269 passing, 259 I should say, two TDs and interception, but also raced that with 35 yards rushing. You had to like it. The Ravens' secondary, usually pretty tough, but Corey Davis goes off here, 5 for 113 on 7 targets. He started slow but made a 50-yard play there as the Titans were in comeback mode. A.J. Brown had an awesome play where he pushed a guy out of the way. He catches 4 of 7 for 62 and a score. So both of those guys come through, as does Jonu Smith. Not a lot of volume from him as usual, but he gets in the end zone. That's what he does. He scores a lot of touchdowns. 4 catches, 20 yards, and that score on 6 targets. A little bit more Anthony Firkser and Cameron Batson mixing there. But again, the principals here, Davis, Brown, and Smith all come through. So it's really Henry unlocks everything, really. When he's running well and he's getting chunk yards, everything's going to open up. They stuck with him in the second half. That opened things up for Tannehill to be accurate against this really tough secondary. Again, no pressure really on Tannehill. 2 sacks the game, but he sat in there and picked apart this Ravens defense. So no longer is daunting in the secondary. That's a little shocking development here, how bad the Ravens defense has played here. No longer just a fantasy void here, as Tannehill and Henry proved in this particular game with all their weapons. So all the Titans basically came through that you would consider in fantasy football. The Ravens, we thought Lamar Jackson would be rolling and looked good for him early. He was connecting with Mark Andrews for a lot of big plays. Jackson only ends up with a 186 and 151 yards rushing. So that's a disappointing game for Lamar Jackson, especially after coming off the nice game against the Patriots and a loss last week. Andrews finally got going here, caught 5 of 7 targets for 96 yards. But you know you have issues, and Dez Bryant is your leading receiver, and he's just activated here. 4 for 28 on 5 targets. So Andrews gets the job done. We know he's a glorified wide receiver playing tight end, clearly still the go-to guy. Marquise Brown, 0 catches on 3 targets. I mean, this guy has become a major bust, both reality and fantasy-wise. He's a first-round pick. He should be coming through, but now he has Dez Bryant and Willie Snead and the other rookie from this year, James Prochet, Devin Duvernay, Patrick Ricard. All these guys are more involved in the pass game. There's one good piece of news, however, from the Ravens' game plan. It looked like they finally trusted J.K. Dobbins. I don't know why they were waiting for so long, the ineffectiveness with the other guys. I mean, Gus Edwards is pretty good. I don't know if it's a game-to-game thing. They like Dobbins' running style against the Titans, who don't have a lot of speed. But I don't know how you can't keep giving the ball to Dobbins. He had 2 catches for 15, as well as 15 for 70 on the ground and a touchdown. So this is the best Dobbins game pretty much since week one, where he scored twice and we thought he was off and running here. But Mark Ingram clearly being phased out of this offense. He doesn't look right. I think they realized that finally to get a spark with some big plays here, and it did work. Unfortunately, Andrews and Dobbins didn't get help from Brown or any of the other wide receivers here to get Jackson going, especially with that offensive line hurting with no Ronnie Stanley. So, again, really disappointing here for the Ravens overall, except for that revelation of Dobbins breaking through, and maybe we'll have a guy we can trust. But Ingram and Edwards are off the radar, and really Marquise Brown is droppable at this point from fantasy rosters. Now let's go to our next game. It is the Eagles and the Browns here. This one is an interesting game because there was no scoring and the weather was an issue again here in Cleveland for the third straight game. We had the Raiders game go wild, then we had last week against the Texans. So 3 straight home games for the Browns, 3 straight bad weather games. Baker Mayfield, pretty much a caretaker here. 204 passing. Rashard Higgins had a decent game. 3 catches for 65 yards on 4 targets, but Kadarrell Hodge became the new favorite target. 3 for 73 on 5 targets. Jarvis Landry, 2 for 23, caught both his targets, but really limited passing here. This team only completed 12 passes in the weather, so that's not going to get your receivers to get much action here, especially when Baker Mayfield is a little off. 12 for 22 passing. We knew Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb would be involved, but Kareem Hunt needed 14 touches for 21 yards. Thankfully, he gets a touchdown, but only 0.8 yards per carry. So disappointing there. Nick Chubb, 20 for 114, but no catches and no touchdown. So rather quiet day after the big game that Chubb and Hunt posted last week against the Texans in a much better matchup. The Eagles, remember, are very good against their traditional running game. So tough matchup defensively. I didn't like a lot of the Browns. I thought Austin Hooper would be more active. I didn't really like Higgins or Landry, which came to fruition. I think Hooper had an opportunity in the end zone, didn't catch it on that play where eventually they were stuffed on 4th and down here, the Browns were. So, and tough, you can't trust anything in the Browns passing game. That's the bottom line. You can only look at Chubb and Hunt consistently here in this game. It doesn't matter what kind of matchup they're in for the most part. If it's a favorable matchup, they're going to run, and not throw much. If it's a bad matchup, Mayfield's going to struggle, and that's what we saw here. Now, Carson Wentz actually wasn't bad for fantasy. He was pretty bad for reality. Sacked 5 times, throws 2 interceptions, but he ends up with 235 passing and 2 scores. He also adds 10 rushing yards here, so not terrible, but you want it better. And Miles Sanders, you expected a lot more, but 16 carries, 66 yards. 3 receptions for 15 yards, so not even close to 100 yards. He also lost a fumble this game. So Miles Sanders has been rather underwhelming in his return back from his latest injury here, so that's concerning. They're working Boston Scott a little bit in. The good development here was Dallas Goedert, 5 for 77 and a touchdown on 6 targets. Jalen Reagor gets involved, 4 for 52 on 5 targets. Richard Rodgers continues to be a good fill-in for Zach Ertz, 2 catches, 48, caught both of his targets and a touchdown along with Goedert. So you got to be happy about Goedert and that game here. What's happened here, however, is that as Goedert and Reagor have become factors and healthy, Travis Fulgham is now nothing. So I think we've seen 2 games, enough evidence that Fulgham is being phased out here of this offense. They used him when they needed him. It's just shocking that they wouldn't keep going there when Carson Wentz was playing so well with Fulgham as his ex receiver. But they're going for the tight ends. They're going deep. They refused and they're arrogant to change that. So that's not good news for Fulgham here. But Goddard, we expected him to come through at some point, and he finally did in this great matchup against the Browns. 22-17, the Browns win. So disappointing reality game, but the Eagles gave us something here, except for Sanders just being a disappointment. Goddard certainly locked in now as a tight end one going forward. The next game we'll look at here is the Patriots and Texans. We expected more out of the Patriots, but you get 365 yards from Cam Newton passing, only 8 yards rushing, which was the disappointment here. But 365-1, a decent start here with no turnovers. Damian Harris looked good here, running 11 carries only for 43. I don't know why they stopped giving it to him. He was rolling early. This is a horrible Texans run defense, and the Patriots could not get the job done, like consistently running, which was shocking, given how well they ran last week against the Ravens. So that was shocking. Jacoby Myers was quieted by Bradley Roby, 3 for 38 on 3 targets. Damir Byrd was the beneficiary here, working the other side where the Texans' coverage is weak. 6 for 132 and a touchdown on 7 targets for Byrd. James White finally more involved, 6 catches for 64, 5 rushes for 19. The story here is Rex Burkhead got hurt, so that opened things up here for White to touch the ball on a regular basis again. Byrd goes off in this game. So Byrd and Myers give Cam Newton some decent receivers now to work with these type of matchups. So interchangeable, but again, Myers had the tougher matchup, so he simply went to Byrd there. White should stay involved in the passing game with now Burkhead on the mix. And I also saw Ryan Izzo's role, tight end role, get up a little bit with Burkhead. N'Keal Harry actually played this game, 5 catches for 41 and 8 targets. So without Julian Edelman, this is kind of their pecking order here without Burkhead as well. But you expect more out of Damian Harris. Now it's going to get complicated here. If he struggled kind of bit against his run defense, so maybe Sonny Michel returns and complicates things even further next week. Now the Texans, what can you say about Deshaun Watson? Total stud, 344 and 2 through the air, 36 and 1 on the ground. He owned this game. He destroyed the Patriots last year at home. He ripped through them again. Good, solid game. Didn't get the touchdowns to his wide receivers, but 4 for 85 on 5 targets from Brandon Cooks. Solids there. Jordan Akins, 5 for 83 on 6 targets. And 6 for 80 for Will Fuller. So he made sure all three of those guys had solid games, even though they didn't score. Touchdowns went to Kiki Kuti and Randall Cobb, who actually got hurt, and he's going to miss time here with a toe and foot injury. So, again, that should help here. Jordan Akins really seeing a bigger role, 5 for 83, partly because Cobb is out. Remember, he works the middle of the field as a tight end. He's kind of like a tight end wide receiver hybrid. So that guy is going to be more involved here. And they do play the Lions this week, so it's a good matchup for the third receiver here. So Cooks and Fuller continue to shine here with Watson playing well. And Akins is going to definitely take on a bigger role without Cobb here. And definitely separating himself from Darren Fells as being a more active athletic target. Now, we can't say anything about Duke Johnson. 10 carries for 15, 3 receptions for 20. Yeah, he's not usable. I mean, they hardly are a good running team here when Deshaun Watson's your leading back. They had to get in C.J. Procise to get some help in the running game. So, yeah, I didn't think that I'd say this, but they missed David Johnson, and their backfield is not the same as Duke has really disappointed here with a big opportunity here with good volume and can't be trusted here going forward. Now, the next game, this is the last game we'll talk about in this segment, is the Steelers and the Jaguars here. The Steelers go in, take care of business, as you might expect, 27-3. The Jaguars had some potential early. James Robinson was running well. Let's talk about them first. He gets 19 touches for 94 yards. So, again, didn't score. The Jags didn't get a touchdown, so disappointing. Jake Luton finally had the meltdown game against a good defense. Again, you could run on the Steelers for the most part, but game script kept them from running. 16 for 37 only for Luton. So when you look at that, 151, 4 interceptions, really brought down DJ Chark and Tyler Eifert and Keelan Cole. No LaVisca Chenault in this game. So it was just a total wasted game for all these pass catchers. I mean, Robinson to come through like that in a game where they lose by 24 points. I mean, that's fine. Keep in mind where you drafted him. You get consistent production and touches out of this kid every week. He was only denied a touchdown to make his day pretty good here and a really bad day otherwise for the Jaguars. So, yeah, we need Gardner Minshew back. I never thought we'd say that, but we need them to at least have some throws here in a tougher matchup. Minshew would have maybe come through in this one, but again, we need Minshew just to maybe save face with some of these weapons here for the Jaguars, as Luton has gone into free fall here in the last couple weeks. Now, on the other side of things, Ben Roethlisberger, it was a rough game early. He did have an interception before halftime, but 267 and 2 with an interception. Again, he had a late touchdown there that really kind of made his day from okay to pretty darn good. Went to Eric Ebron. We went in liking all three receivers and Eric Ebron here. The only receiver that didn't come through was Juju Smith-Schuster, 4 for 19 on 5 targets. But Deontay Johnson went off. That's part of it. 16 targets for him, 12 for 111. They love the matchup there. They love the Chase Claypool matchup. He had 8 targets, 4 for 59 in scoring, and Ebron in a good matchup as well. So that's going to happen when the Steelers have a lot of success and they have some defense working. They're not going to have to throw too much, and it's only going to be limited for some of these guys to have big games. It's good to see James Conner have a nice game as well, rebound game, 13 carries for 89 yards, but 3 catches for 10. He could have a much bigger game, 16 for 99 overall, so not bad in PPR and half point, but Benny Snell had to pilfer a touchdown. He had 15 yards rushing as well, so Connor's day would have been excellent with a TD. It ends up pretty solid given what he's done in recent weeks. Deontay Johnson should be in there every week as wide receiver 2, as well as Chase Claypool. Smith-Schuster maybe drops to more wide receiver 3 status given how well Johnson and Claypool are playing, as well as the usage of Ebron in the middle of the field. All right, so there's 4 games from Sunday we've broken out for you. We still have 8 more to talk about on today's show. But first, I got to tell you about Echelon. When it comes to getting or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Their world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to 5 family members all work out at the same time. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. Just go to echelonfit.com/NFL. That's Echelon, Echelon, fit.com/NFL. Entering Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. That's what you get when you try it out. Check it out right now. Echelon has workout things for you no matter how you watch and perform and getting in shape. And Echelon is going to take care of you. So check it out. EchelonFit.com/NFL to try their fitness equipment at home for 30 days. We also mentioned this episode of Locked On Fantasy Football is brought to you by Pepsi. Thanks to the lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. I'm watching everything all the time because I'm watching reality for my sporting news job. I'm watching fantasy to break things down for all of you. And I want the refreshment I can go to, and Pepsi is that for me all day long. Pepsi is a refreshment you also need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, as we mentioned as a programming reminder, again, compressed week this week, so no Thursday show. We'll still have our pickup Tuesday tomorrow, looking at the waiver wire there, targets for week number 12, as well as breaking down the last game of week number 11, the Bucks and Rams on Monday night. Then Wednesday, matchup Wednesday, will be a mega edition there. So we usually pack in just the first half of games, and we'll put all the games on that show. So a little extended edition there to carry you through and get you to a happy Thanksgiving. And then we'll come back with lineup Friday there for you with our DFS spin on all the analysis here for DraftKings and FanDuel. So, again, action-packed week. Let's continue here with our breakdown of an action-packed Sunday here. The next game we'll talk about, this one was a tough one to watch. It was the Washington football team beating the Bengals. The score was 20-9 here, and again, I thought this game would go a little different. It probably would have if Joe Burrow didn't have that devastating knee injury. He was looking good. He wasn't sacked at all. 203 yards and a TD. Made a play to Tyler Boyd as he was getting hurt. Left knee injury, probably torn ACL, maybe worse than that, but we're not going to have Joe Burrow for a while, folks. And it's terrible because Ryan Finley came in there, didn't look good. It was just a sinking feeling overall with that Bengals offense when he went down. Again, Finley is no replacement. This is why they went out and got Joe Burrow, number one overall. He's a legitimate franchise dude. We were looking forward to him having a big second season here with some more help. He's already having a big first season, but hard to see that for any player, but especially him, a kid that plays so well, and we wanted so much more out of him, reality and fantasy-wise. So rooting for him to get well, but for this season, he's done, unfortunately, as a rookie, 203-1 before he left. Tyler Boyd, 9-for-85 on 11 targets. A.J. Green, 4-for-41 and touchdown on his 9 targets. So Boyd and Green certainly are going to take some hits. T. Higgins took a hit as soon as Finley came in. So, yeah, these receivers are doing so well with Burrow as well. So just a bummer here. Also, team without Joe Mixon. This team has just kind of tanked it in the running game without Joe Mixon. Gio Bernard did get a solid 13 touches this game, but he only turned it into 55 yards. Samaj Perine is starting to touch the ball almost as much in the running game. So, yeah, the Bengals offensive line issues, run blocking, pass protection, they're all going to be magnified here without Burrow on top of no Mixon here. And that's just really hard to see with this offense going forward. So a downgrade for everything without Burrow, unfortunately, for the rest of the year in 2020. Now, the Washington football team has gotten a little bit of a spark from Alex Smith because everything is starting to work well here. Antonio Gibson, 16-for-94 and a TD. Alex Smith, 17-of-29, only 166 as they dominated 29, but had a TD there. He's not a guy that, again, I'm looking for in fantasy, but I like him facilitating the weapons. Terry McLaurin, 5-for-84 and 7 targets to lead the team. J.D. McKissic, another 3 catches for 26 on top of 6-for-43, so viable flex in PPR. Gibson just keeps getting it done here because of the offense opening up. The bummer here was Logan Thomas. They really didn't need to throw much. They stuck with the running game. Ran 34 times as opposed to 17 completed passes here. So, again, game script usually doesn't go this well for Washington. Might have changed. Burrow had been in there. The Bengals were leading 9-7 at halftime. Failed to score there in the second half after Burrow went down. So, again, a weird game here. We thought Thomas would be more involved. But, again, Washington typically doesn't play from ahead. But when they do, that helps Gibson a lot. And that's what you saw in this game. McLaurin consistently productive here with Smith, which is a good thing to see as well here this late in 2020. Then the next game we go to, this one was disappointing if you had Lions players. It was also a bit disappointing if you had Panthers players, unless you had the right ones. 20-0. This is the most shocking result just because the Lions just had no life in this game. Let's start with the Lions. There was no Kenny Galladay with a hip injury. We know DeAndre Swift was ruled out late with a concussion. Danny Amendola also didn't play. So we figured T.J. Hockenson would be involved. He was 4-for-68 on 7 targets. Good game for him. Marvin Jones, you expected more. 4-for-51 on 6 targets. Not much else to see there. So the big disappointment, however, was we thought Adrian Peterson and Kerryon Johnson would have some value here without Swift. The Panthers have been so awful against the run. What happens here? They just look awful blocking for these guys. Adrian Peterson, 7 carries, 18 yards, nothing in the passing game. Kerryon Johnson, 6-for-17 and 2-for-21. So DeAndre Swift was rolling. This kid was a big loss. He was huge for the Lions last week. He's the centerpiece of their offense without Galladay, and I think we underestimated how valuable he was coming on here for this offense. So everything falls apart here, and not a good day for anyone except basically Hockenson here. He's scratched out some decent values here in that full and half-point PPR. But otherwise, yeah, brutal day for the Lions and didn't get a single point on the board. Even Matthew Prater was terrible with Matthew Stafford here in this game. P.J. Walker, not bad for the Panthers. He ends up with a touchdown here, 258-1 there with 2 interceptions. Both were in the red zone, so they could have really destroyed the Lions here, but they got picked off twice there because, again, P.J. Walker is an inexperienced quarterback. But I got to tell you one thing he did. He got the ball to D.J. Moore, which we've been calling for Teddy Bridgewater to do more. 7 catches for 127 on 11 targets, so big game for Moore. He also adds a 21-yard rush. Nice game for Curtis Samuel as well, 8-for-70 and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson slowly kind of phasing here down behind Moore and Samuel of late, which is concerning. He was going in the opposite direction the way he was with the Jet. Remember, he would come through in the last month of the season and go off as a Jet? Now he did the damage early in the season, really cooling off, 7-for-46 only on 9 targets. So Good to see Moore get going. Maybe that Walker Moore continues here. They did make an effort to get the ball better to Moore this week. So that's something let's hopefully continue. I always thought DJ Moore should be the number one, and I think you're seeing that kind of happen here. And Samuel should be more involved as a co-number two with Anderson. That's what you're seeing as well. Now, Mike Davis had a solid rebound game. 21 touches, only 79 yards, but he did get a touchdown here. So that's all you're asking for Davis. You're not expecting Christian McCaffrey. But you can imagine what they would have done to this Lions team with Teddy Bridgewater and Christian McCaffrey. But, again, managed the two touchdowns there, and again, field goals otherwise for Joey Sly. But I don't know if he started the Panthers defense. It was hard to go there in that direction, but a monster game for them with five sacks and no points allowed to the Lions. I don't think you're going with the Panthers in any direction against a more competent team going forward. So the next game we'll talk about here, the Falcons and Saints, as we stay with two more teams from the NFC South. This one was the Taysom Hill debut, and Taysom Hill debuted with a bang here. 233 passing, that was okay, no touchdowns, but 51 rushing and two TDs. So right there, when you look at that, is when you add those up in leagues, that's 17.1 points, even before he throws a pass. So pretty solid, not as spectacular as you think. I mean, the rushing really gets boosted in some formats, but again, if you're able to start him at tight end in ESPN leagues, you really just made out like a bandit this week. Again, in other leagues, again, he's a viable starting quarterback for sure. That's what he showed with the rushing touchdowns. Now, what did that mean? That meant cutting into Alvin Kamara's work. He did end up with 13 carries for 45 and a touchdown, but for the first time, Alvin Kamara did not record a reception, which is shocking to me. With Taysom Hill short passing game, they actually went deep more. They had that deep shot to Emmanuel Sanders, which set up a touchdown, 44 yards there, 4 for 66. Michael Thomas, 12 targets, caught 9 for 104. So kind of the game plan threw everything upside down here. Thought they were going to be a little bit more run-heavy. Latavius Murray ends up leading the team in rushing and backfield yards here with 14 for 85 here. So when you look at that with Latavius Murray, it's kind of a weird shift. It's kind of like Teddy Bridgewater last year when Kamara was hurting. Murray was the man, played off that. Few big plays, but caretaking. The only difference is Taysom Hill's a runner, and he cuts in a lot to what Kamara and Murray do. So we didn't think about that. That we were more concerned about the downgrade to Thomas and Sanders, who ended up being fine this game. But really, it hurt Kamara and Murray here in this game. Kamara did get the touchdown, which is at least salvageable here. I mean, you've had some big games with him, so you'll take that anytime if that's his bad game. But Taysom Hill definitely got the Saints offense going. Part of it is that the Falcons defense was terrible and didn't do anything. It's not always going to be easy. They do get the Broncos this week, who actually had a good game against the Dolphins. So we'll see how that plays out if he has to do more this week. That's Taysom Hill through the air, but certainly passed the first test with flying colors and fantasy relevant as well. Matt Ryan was not fantasy relevant. 232 and two interceptions here. Sacked 8 times. He was under siege here. The Saints' D really came through. What really helped was Julio Jones being hurt, because that negated the fact that Marshon Lattimore didn't play. Julio Jones, more issues in and out of the lineup, only had 2 targets for 39 yards, caught both of them. So what could have been there if he was out there? We liked Russell Gage kind of as a little sleeper pick as they spread the field. He came through 7 for 58 on 12 targets. So PPR leagues, Gage has some value there, but they need Jones to really be productive. And Calvin Ridley could have had a bigger game. You're expecting more, but 5 for 90 on 9 targets. He got targeted a lot without Jones, but yeah, really tough to see Jones go down. We knew the running game was going to be hard. Todd Gurley was going to be terrible, and he was. Only 8 carries for 26, 1 catch for 3 here. Hayden Hurst catchless in this game. That's another thing we said. When they're going to spread the field with 3 receivers, which they continue to do with Gage and Christian Blake and Olamide Zaccheaus, when Julio Jones was out, you know it wasn't going to work out, and that's what's happened here. So Jones, again, tough if you have him this season. Ridley at least came back and was productive. He seems to be the Falcons receiver most consistent, other than that 0 against the Packers here. But again, can't seem to have all these guys healthy for Matt Ryan, which is key to Matt Ryan's production as a fantasy football quarterback here in 2020. Speaking of the Broncos, the next opponent for the Saints, that's the next team we'll talk about. They upset the Dolphins 20-13. They were only 3-point underdogs, so not a big upset. They were also at home here, but it was 10 th- 13-10 at halftime. The Broncos pull away with one more touchdown. The Dolphins can do much after. Let's look at the Dolphins. This was a game that Tua kind of had his comeuppance. He had a touchdown early here, 83 yards and a touchdown, but he looked terrible. He was sacked six times. Didn't turn over the ball, but they didn't like the way the offense was going. So what do? Put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. He rallied them a little bit, but in the end, it's only 117 and an interception here coming in cold, literally, off the bench in Denver here. So weird situation. At least before Tua struggled, he did get Devontae Parker. Big game, 6 for 61 on 9 targets and a touchdown. Salvin Ahmed was rolling until the game script did not work in his favor. He had 17 touches for 74 yards. So disappointing there as Ahmed went rolling. Mike Gesicki all of a sudden woke up in this offense, 4 for 43, only in 5 targets. A rough day offensively for everyone of the Dolphins not named Devontae Parker in this matchup against the Broncos. On the other side of things, Melvin Gordon's 15 for 84 and 2 scores. Where did this come from? Phillip Lindsay, 82 yards. This Dolphins run defense had been better of late, but they really folded here against the Broncos. Shocking to see that development here with them getting a positive game script, pounding away with Gordon and Lindsay, really exploiting the Dolphins. So came out of nowhere. Tim Patrick had a big game outside, 5 for 119. We thought this would be more of a Jerry Jeudy game, but Locke played a lot better. He didn't have an interception. He did only complete 18 of 30 passes. So it was a hit and miss game for Locke, but he got the ball downfield to Patrick. He got it down to Fant, who had 4 for 55, one of his best games in several weeks here. Jerry Jeudy, however, KJ Hamler. So they took more aggressive measures with Locke. That really hurt Jeudy and Hamler here in this, and made me more confident that the running game going to open things up in the passing game. So weird stat line. We didn't expect all this explosion from the Broncos from different players there, but Broncos D comes through as well. Been hard to trust them all year, but they had an interception in those 6 sacks. And I'll only have 13 points this game. I wouldn't trust them, however, against the Saints next week. All right, still have 4 more games to talk about here to close our Roundup Monday to kick off Week 12 as we make the transition from Week 11 to Week 12. But first, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. That's simply what it is. And the improved Built Bar is even delicious-er with 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. That goes with their 12 original flavors that are awesome as well: coconut almond, raspberry German chocolate, peanut butter banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, orange toffee almond, coconut peanut butter brownie. All the bars you get from Built Bar are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health conscious guy or gal. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for anyone on a keto diet. And during Thanksgiving, we want somebody to power us through, and Built Bar is going to be that for us. And it also tastes like a delicious dessert. Just take the flavor profile of their coconut almond: 18 grams protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams sugar, 5 grams net carbs. And Built Bar is also making easier than ever for you to get in on Built Bar right now. And once you get your first box of Built Bar, you'll keep wanting them. And it's easy. Just go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use the promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to close the show looking at the final 4 games from Week 11 Sunday. All right, let's continue here. We're in the 4 p.m. window. We started that with the Broncos-Dolphins game. We'll continue that here with the Chargers and Jets game. 34-28, a wild one between the Chargers and Jets. Let's start with the Jets, shall we? Joe Flacco facilitating. Again, he's like the Alex Smith of this team. 15 for 30 only, but 2 TDs. He got Denzel Mims, 3 catches for 71 and 8 targets. Rashad Perryman, 2 catches, 54, and a TD. He's made a big play for 49 yards. Chris Herndon, 2 for 32 and 3 targets and a touchdown. Welcome back, Chris Herndon, to fantasy football semi-relevance. What we've seen here is that Joe Flacco is not Captain Checkdown like Sam Darnold. He's going to take shots, even if they're low percentage. He's going to push the ball downfield and see what he can get here. And that's good for Mims and Perryman, the outside guys. It's not so good for Crowder, especially with Herndon being more involved. So again, Crowder is Sam Darnold's guy. Joe Flacco not as locked in and forcing it into the slot with Crowder as much. So something to keep in mind there. But Perryman and Flacco, this combination has been very fruitful here, kind of like we saw with Ryan Fitzpatrick and Devontae Parker. So, yes, the Jets have due some fantasy value. LaMichael Perine, remember they said they were going to give him a big role? Well, they didn't. Frank Gore started. And then LaMichael Perine did get the touchdown in the opening drive here for the Jets. 8 for 33 and a touchdown for Perine. No catches, but he also got hurt. So that helped Ty Johnson be the receiver, 4 for 17. Frank Gore ends up with 17 touches for 71 yards and a touchdown here for the Jets. So much for switching this backfield to Perine. On top of that, Perine gets hurt. So we'll see about the knee injury. He might be on the shelf for a while. But Frank Gore, again, random fantasy relevance here again with Joe Flacco. So really disappointing coming off a bye. You thought for sure that they were going to really be okay with Perine, but it's Adam Gase. You never know what you're going to get. And this offense completely flipped on its side with Flacco in there instead of a healthy Darnold. So 28-34, they lose. The Chargers, another huge game for Justin Herbert, 366-3. He added 11 yards rushing here. The rookie's just been fantastic. Kind of like Patrick Mahomes light there from the second season, the MVP season. Herbert's doing that. 16 catches on 19 targets for a 145 and a TD for Keenan Allen. He blows up. I mean, those type of numbers, you'll forgive him losing a fumble at the goal line. So that tells you he could have had a bigger game. Mike Williams came through, 4 for 72 and a score. Hunter Henry came through. So trifecta here. That's what we're looking for with Justin Herbert. Finally, 4 for 48, a touchdown. So Henry scores in the second straight game. So he's getting in groove with his main dudes, Allen, Williams, and Henry. He had a big play from Tyron Johnson as well for 54 yards. But that's where this pass game needs to go through. Those three guys, they'll be great every week. It's not going to be the Jets matchup every week. Kalen Ballage was a little bit disappointing with his opportunities there as they threw on the Jets. They only had 29 rushing yards in this game on 26 attempts. But they end up with 23 touches here for Ballage and 71 yards. So not terrible. He did have 7 receptions, which really helped his value in a full and half point PPR, which maybe not expected in this game, but checkdowns and runs were there, as well as the big plays here from Herbert to Allen, Williams, and Henry. So you love it. Justin Herbert, what a revelation. He's going to be an easy QB1, high-end, top half QB1 there in 2021 for sure. And he could be league winner for many with his rookie performance this year, much like James Robinson from running back and Justin Jefferson at wide receiver this year. Let's go to our next game here. It was the Packers and the Colts. The Packers lose this game 34-31 in overtime. They actually had 28-14 at halftime. So really a meltdown by the Packers defense, and they didn't do enough offensively to hold off the Colts. Still 3-11-3 with an interception for Aaron Rodgers, a rare interception, but he also had 13 rushing yards here. So big game from Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Jones could have had a bigger game, but only 14 touches here for 71 and a touchdown. Yet Jamal Williams also had again, 6 touches for 16 yards and a touchdown. Robert Tonyan came back and had an effect here. Caught all 5 targets for 44 yards and a TD. Devontae Adams, 7 for 106 and a TD on his 8 targets. Valdes-Scantling had that big fumble late that cost him in overtime there as the Colts kicked the game-winning field goal easily, but 3 for 55 on 6 targets. So rough game for Valdes-Scantling, especially when he loses the fumble and not enough volume there overall. But yeah, this was a tough matchup on paper. The Colts were very tough against wide receivers and tight ends, but that didn't stop Adams and Tonyan from producing, and Rodgers was comfortable. That's what Rodgers does. He comes through in these type of matchups, and you can play him in any tough matchup. Matchup proof, that's what Aaron Rodgers is. Now, on the Colts side of things, 288-3 for Phillip Rivers, and the biggest development here, Michael Pittman clearly is the number one. He only had 3 targets in this game, but made them count with a 45-yard touchdown, 3 for 66. So still, clearly he's the best, most talented, most important receiver here over Zach Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, everyone else that they get in the passing game. They kind of streamline this to those three receivers, Pittman, Pascal, and Hilton. Didn't really use anyone else here. You had a tight end. It was by committee, of course, blown up, but 2 for 25 for Burton. Moa Cox, 2 for 16. Jack Doyle, 1 for 6. Doyle and Burton end up with the TDs here from Rivers as well as Pittman. So, again, tough committee. You can roll the dice, hoping that one of these guys comes through with a touchdown week in, week out, but started looking at Moale Cox being the admin out since Burton and Doyle have been healthy together in the lineup. Here, Doyle coming back from a concussion and scoring while Burton had that injury early. Clearly, they've been the preferred targets, but still very piecemeal when you look at it when Phillip Rivers completes passes to 11 dudes. So it's always going to be tough when they spread it around like that. You want a little bit more focus there in the passing game, but certainly I think there's some there with Pittman for sure being a big playmaker and guy you trust all over the field to get every snap. Now, weird backfield development. Once again, we thought Nyheim Hines with a hot hand and the game script could be in his favor. We only have three catches for 31 here for Hines. Only six rushes for two. Jordan Wilkins, five touches for 36. The story is Jonathan Taylor. They went back to trusting him and as a feature back. 26 touches in a game they trailed. Oh, Frank Reich. We don't know what you're going to get from him from week in and week out. This wide receiver and tight end by committee with Pittman leading away. We thought it's more Wilkins and Hines, but it's clearly the hot hand approach here. Taylor looked like the best back. It looks like they've been challenging Taylor to get better for down the stretch. 26 touches for 114 yards. No scores here from the ground from the Colts, which is unusual. Again, but Rivers has the big day. Probably didn't go in that direction this week. Probably didn't fully trust Taylor. We liked him just because the Packers are so bad against running backs that we thought there was a chance for all three to be productive. But Taylor was the man standing out here. And hopefully they'll trust Taylor a little bit more, much like we saw the Ravens trust J.K. Dobbins, and the Lions turn things over to DeAndre Swift. The next game we'll talk about is the Cowboys and the Vikings. This one was a shocker, too. The Cowboys win 31-28. Okay, it wasn't a big shocker because, again, in the end, these teams are only one game apart in the standings. It's not like the Cowboys were hopeless, but they came in. This is the kind of game you expected from Andy Dalton filling in for Dak Prescott. Not great doing a lot of damage, but 203-3 just because these receivers are that talented. So, got like that. 6 for 81 and 7 targets for Amari Cooper. He had 4 for 34 and a touchdown for CeeDee Lamb. There looked very good. He also had 2 rushes for 12. So Lamb made a great play there to get his touchdown, but he's back there. Michael Gallup, you still can't go there. For 2 for 29 on 5 targets here, only for Gallup. He had a big play on 4th down, but that was it. Ezekiel Elliott, welcome back for a nice game for Ezekiel. Oh, 21 carries, his first 100-yard game of the season, 103. As well as 2 receptions for 11 and a score. So Ezekiel Elliott, get well game for him. Tony Pollard got in the action with this 42-yard run for a touchdown, as well as 5 for 60. So this is a game they needed, a good rushing game against a tough defense against the run. They got it and opened up the passing game for Dalton, and worked out really well as the Cowboys reality win and got everyone involved, but mainly Gallup was phased out. Dalton Schultz looks like the preferred guy instead as you're having an intermediate. He did score the game-winning touchdown here. So Schultz, Cooper, and Lamb look like the way it's going now instead of Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup. And Pollard definitely has to be managed in every league as a high-end Elliott handcuff at this point. Might have some standalone value, but I, at least in that capacity with Elliott now playing well, rested the bye, did wonders for this Cowboys team, and that's what we saw. Now for the Vikings, they were also coming through for us in fantasy just like we wanted. Dalvin Cook didn't have that monster game, but come on. He had 32 touches for 160 yards and a TD. You'll take that from a running back any day. And again, he's not always going to have multiple touchdowns. Adam Thielen, what a nice game for him. 8 for 123 on 11 targets. Another one-handed touchdown. 2 scores here overall. Oh, yeah, and they didn't forget Justin Jefferson either. 3 catches, 86, and a score on 5 targets. So perfect game from the Vikings. They threw 22 times to completions here with Cousins. He gets 3 scores, goes for 300, and you had Dalvin Cook go off. So perfect balance here to get everyone happy on the Vikings here. So, and this is where the offense flows. When Kyle Rudolph and Irv Smith are there, they're pretty much splitting work here, 5 for 51 combined. They're the committee there, so you can't trust either one when the other's on the field there. That's what happened here, but definitely Thielen's a wide receiver one. Jefferson's a wide receiver one. Cousins is definitely a high-end or QB one when he's in cooking with all these guys. And Cook, we know, maybe the RB one on the board above everyone else this season. With some great matchups ahead here, folks. I mean, they have two really weak teams back-to-back here that they can run all over. So looking forward to Dalvin Cook having a monstrous finish here to the season. Finally, let's go to the Chiefs and Raiders. What a thriller. The best game of the day slash night. 3-48-2 only for Patrick Mahomes. He had an interception, but the story here was they had 3 rushing touchdowns as well. Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming out of the bye. We knew they would run a little bit more. They did. 27 times for 108. Mahomes still throws 46 times. there for those 348 and 2. So solid game from Mahomes. Here also had 16 yards rushing. Edwards-Helaire needed this type of game. Again, only 14 rushes here, one catch. So 15 for 77 overall, but gets the two scores. Le'Veon Bell, this is what we thought, a good compliment there. 8 touches for 36 and a score here for Bell. So that's we drew it up just like this. I mean, this is what we looked at with the Vikings. This is how we want every Chiefs game to go. A little bit more from Mahomes if you're managing him, but Edwards-Helaire gets the two scores, very highly involved. Bell gets a little involved there. Travis Kelce goes off 8 for 127 and a touchdown, the game winner there on that final drive, 35-31. On 10 targets, 14 for Tyreek Hill. He gets the 11 for 102 and a score. So this is what you want. You want some simple, simplified, week in and week out expectation. The Vikings give that to you. The Chiefs hopefully give that to us now with Edwards-Helaire and Bell having some value here behind Kelce, Hill, and Mahomes as a QB1 on the board. Kelsey's tight end one on the board, Hill right in there with the wide receiver one. So great performance, great what you want to see from the Chiefs, bouncing it out, giving everyone love in fantasy football. Now let's look at the Raiders. They had a great game here as well for fantasy. So two nice shootouts to end with everyone getting pleased for the most part. 275 and 3 for Derek Carr. He's exceptional. He did have the interception, but it came in garbage time with their last gasp there when they had no shot. Nelson Agholor came through again, 6 for 88 and a touchdown and 9 targets. He could have had a bigger game, another chance on the sideline, but clearly he's their go-to guy all over the field, as well as Darren Waller. So wide receiver and tight end, good harmony there, 7 for 88. So same receiving yards for Agholor and Waller, caught all of his targets and an easy touchdown where he's wide open. So overall, I think that was good. Josh Jacobs, you thought he would get higher volume here, 17 for 55. He was banged up a little bit here. They rotated Devontae Booker in, only for limited work here. No Jalen Richard in this game with a chest injury. So Jacobs, you expected more, but 17 for 55 and a touchdown. Still pretty solid here, including a one catch for 9 yards. So, yeah, this is good. I mean, you want some predictable offenses. You know where they're going to go. This game was kind of predictable, high scoring, pretty balanced back and forth until the end, and a good way to finish Sunday there. And that's our finish as well here to round up Monday. We've broken down all the games for you from the Week 11 Sunday action. Don't forget, one more game that could decide a lot of things tonight, the Bucks and the Rams. So good luck if you've got players going in that one. And don't forget, we will take care of you here for Pickup Tuesday tomorrow, waiver wire and free agent acquisition budget targets, as well as a breakdown of that Thursday night game. Thanks so much for listening. This has been Vinny Iyer, Locked On Fantasy Football. Now tell your smart speaker to play the most recent episode of Locked On NFL. Have a great day. See you tomorrow.